Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to say that this morning I've just been sensing an overwhelming sense of God's presence that I just believe God wants to release something of a blessing to the family. And I just felt in my heart to pray for this church. And it's interesting because where I'm going this morning, and the children won't be able to be here to listen, but I want to just read the scripture that the Lord put on my heart to share from. And this is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul is so taken up that he gets on his knees and he says this: "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray now that every family gathered in this place, with the children right down from the infant on to the grandparents and the great-grandparents, that every family in this place would derive its name from the Father in heaven. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you as a family. He may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." And I just sense in my spirit that I want to release this to every member of the family, that by his Spirit he would strengthen you in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church, in the family of God, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, and every generation that has gone on before, and every generation that is to come from our own descendants. I pray forevermore and ever, from ever and ever. Amen. So Lord, let it be that each home represented here, each family represented here, would know the love of God so deeply rooted, and that any other name that has been taken on by any person in this family, in the families represented here, that is not from the Father, would be renounced and rejected. And may the name that God gives to you as a children of God be so adopted, so welcomed, and so received that you would walk out in every aspect that God has for you. That these children would be blessed beyond measure. That they would just be all that God has called them to be. That it would be completely said of you that you are beautiful. That God delights in you. He loves you. He created you for a purpose. And we call forth the destiny and the purpose of God in that identity of who you are as children of God. And I not only speak to you children, I speak to you as adults in every single one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Whoa, thank you, Lord. I've already started preaching. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you so much, worship team. And I just think it's amazing when we come into a place which is not a common familiar place, in terms of that I'm not here every week. It is a common and familiar place in the fact I consider you as a family, but I'm one of those visitors that comes by but I still feel as though that I belong. Isn't it interesting that you come to a place and just it's no sweat. It's just, yeah, this is family, you know, but it's like coming home. Yeah. It's wonderful, and I just know that God has something really special for all of us this morning, because he so much loves you. Man, he just delights in every one of us. I'm expecting God to just pour out so much this morning, not because I'm someone special. It's just that's his heart. That's his heart. I'm just an instrument. I'm a vessel that wants to just say, Lord, let it be. And I just want to say that God has something great for you this morning. Just come. I know you come expectant. And you didn't get Pastor Bill, but you did get Pastor Noel. That's okay. But, you know, the word of the Lord is so amazing that it has power to do anything. I love what it says, that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I don't know what you came expecting this morning. Even when I was in the worship time, I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, this is overwhelming me. I'm being overwhelmed by the Spirit of the living God. Because the worship is just like, you know, confirming what's in my heart and my spirit. I'm saying, Lord, you didn't have to do that for me, but you love me so much. You just confirmed the stuff that you want me to share this morning. It's good stuff. And it's interesting when you study the Bible and you prepare messages, you know. And if you've been in the ministry as long as I have, and I'm not boasting about this fact, but I've been preaching for 30 some years. Yeah, I know you don't think I'm that old. But I started when I was 18. Not in full time ministry, but I'll be 54 this year. And I don't look it. So now I give away my age, which is not a problem to me. But all I'm saying is, over those years, I've looked at this scripture. I've preached from the scripture. I've preached through the book of Ephesians. And I've kind of saying, and the Lord just in the last little while has, it's lovely when God just does it, when he can deposit fresh revelation, fresh nuggets. It's like, you know, we don't want to come to, you know, come to people with old stale bread, right? Because God's people they're sheep that want fresh pasture. And I just say, Lord, let it be. And it's wonderful that when I got looking at the scripture in the last little while, how the Lord just said, hey, and there's stuff here that you missed before. And maybe the fact is there was stuff there that I missed because I wasn't in the place to receive it. Or people weren't in the place that they would receive it, where God's downloading information, which is not just information, it's revelation. Amen? So I just love that about God. God is so amazing. So I just want to say, this is stuff, if you've read it before, if you heard it before, if you studied it before, just expect God to do immeasurably more than what you can ask or imagine. Expect God to bring something to your spirit that'll enliven you and that'll just say yes to the word of the Lord. I just thank God for that confession that our brother made here this morning. You know, I'm sure it's not a usual thing, okay? And let me tell you something. In the heart of this message, in the heart of this passage, is that reality. That was another confirmation the Lord gave to me. Hey, you know what? What you're on here is really, really, really cool. This scripture that I read to you in Ephesians 3, out of this scripture, I'm going to speak a message that I think most of us don't even realize. And it's something that's really close to my heart, and that is inner healing. It's interesting because it was there all along and I missed it. Paul's prayer is that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with his power through his spirit in your where? Inner being. Come on, there's something wrong with, and maybe there's things of my life that are still missing. It's interesting, we all believe that God has come in Christ, revealed himself completely, Christ died for our sins, rose again from the dead, and offers to you and I eternal life. He offers to us forgiveness and eternal life, amen? Amen. That's the word of the Lord, that's the gospel. And we also believe and agree that when Jesus comes into my life, does he come into my life in fullness? He does. Now, come on, let me tell you. Jesus enters into my life as a whole package deal. How can we pray for healing? Because I believe in Christ, I'm healed. Come with me for a minute. When I received Jesus, The fullness of the Godhead dwells in him, right? And the Bible says in Colossians, I am complete in him. You agree there? That's the word of the Lord. Well, why is it that Paul is praying that they may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God? If it's true that Christ lives in me and his fullness dwells in me, then why would Paul be praying that you would be filled with the fullness of God if you already have it? Ooh, interesting, isn't it? Well, let's get back to the beginning of this prayer. Paul starts out by saying this. He's already spoken some great words in Ephesians. Remember, this is Ephesians 3:14. He's already spoken a lot of words. He's already said a lot of things. He's already spoken the truth that we are blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Has he not? Chapter 1, verse 3. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Then he's spoken about the blessings coming from the Father, from the Holy Spirit and the Son, right? And he talked about the fact that once we were dead in our sins and trespasses, but he has made us alive with Christ. And he's seated us where? In the heavenly places in Christ. Isn't that right? Ephesians 2, verse 6. Then Paul talked about the fact that just because we were Gentiles and not Jews, we didn't miss out on the promises. We were included. God said, the Gentiles are just really those that aren't Jews, okay? So if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Basically, the Jews thought they had the in with God. In some ways, they had those promises and privileges. But Paul says in Ephesians 2 that, we were included. We were included. And so chapters 2, 22 or something like that, all the way through chapter 3 down to verse 13, Paul is saying, it's an all-inclusive deal. You know, all-inclusive. It's all-inclusive in the fact that it includes the Jews, the Gentiles. And I was overwhelmed in my spirit as we were praying upstairs. And the Lord said, it's all-inclusive because every family is included. Every member of the family is included. It says here, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. Paul's passionate prayer. Let me tell you something. When people prayed in that day, in those days, primarily this was the posture of their prayer. Right here. That's how people prayed under the old covenant. And Paul would have been still, when he prayed many times, he'd pray like this. And maybe they take a posture of seating, but I'll tell you, when they got on their knees, it was desperate. Come on. They were desperate. They were saying, God, this is an earnest cry out to you. And I'm convinced that there's a cry out of Paul because something had happened where the father of lies had come and spoke to the family. And the father of lies had come. There is a father of lies. There's a father of truth, the father of light and the father of love, but there's also a father of lies. And the Bible describes the father of lies as the devil. And what has happened is many in the family, and I'm going to say this, you know, we talked about fathers up and mothers and husbands and wives and children. You know, many have come to believe lies about their role, about who they are. So how many of us know and either been a part of or still may be in an unfortunate situation, be a part of a dysfunctional family? Isn't there a reality to that? Come on. You know, I'm not picking fault with anybody here. I'm not here pointing fingers. But the reality is this, guys. The reality is, after God created man in his own image, the intention of God was from the very beginning that man would represent God. Isn't that right? He was created in his image, so man should represent God. Now, in the Bible, man would mean man and woman. Because out of Adam came Eve, and this is man. Right here, this is man. Right here. Not just this is man, this is man. That they would represent God. Right from the very beginning, something happened, messed it up. The father of lies came into the scene. And he started saying things about the woman, to the man and to the woman. And, hey, became a dysfunctional family right from the beginning. So there was rift between man and woman. There was all of a sudden, they gave birth to a couple of boys. And what happened there? There was a rift between the boys. So where the one boy kills the other. Read it. God is about representing himself. God is about representing himself. Let me say it. God is about representing himself. God wants to represent himself through them. Right? So all kind of stuff started right back then. We are, you know, we're generationally connected to dysfunction. Listen to me. There's truth to that. No matter how good my home might have been or how bad my home might have been, I'll tell you something. Every home from the time of Adam and Eve has some form of dysfunction where the father of lies has come to project who you are and tell you who you are, define who you are by the things that you've been raised with. I'm sorry to say this, but that's a reality in everybody's life. And the sad thing is, I could have been raised in a good home, but something weird happened, and all of a sudden, it wasn't even through my parents, but something happened, maybe through an uncle and aunt, or through something else, and all of a sudden, I started to believe the father of lies, telling me who I am. See, it's interesting, a father in a home is one who is to give the children a sense of identity and a sense of destiny. That's his role. And it's interesting, even in the Bible, it was men that typically named their children. Do you remember when Elizabeth had this husband, Zechariah, and the man couldn't speak because he wouldn't listen to the angel? It wasn't until they asked Zechariah what his name is to be. John. Man is to get, just the way it was. What was the reason for that? I think the reason is because it's the fathers, and when I say the fathers, I would like to say it this way. There is a role of a father in a house. There is a role of a husband in a home. But I think a lot of times a father is represented by this. They are there to be the fathers. There is a role, and I'm not taking away from a role of a father. Do you understand? Unfortunately, what's happened in our home, in our society, is there are too many absentee fathers. And I'm not even talking about absentee fathers who have gone off to work in Alberta. I'm talking about fathers even when they're home, they're not home. There is a place of a father in a home, you understand? But there is another place where identity and purpose are given to me by my parents. And yes, my father would probably have a higher role in that and play an important part in that as a man. And as a role that he has, but there's a role that my parents play, and your parents play, have played in your life. And sadly, I carry this, and oftentimes I've believed lies about myself because of things that were either done to me or things that didn't happen. That were neglected, that didn't, you know, I didn't get the kind of nurture, the love, the protection. So we've come to believe lies about ourselves. And what the Lord is about to do, he's, you know, and I call it identity theft. It's taking place in our lives. We don't know who we are. And we start living out of an identity, a false sense of identity, and we take on the role of those identities we take, and then we get into other things like addictions and, you know, lifestyle choices that are not God's identity. They're not God saying to me, this is who you are. Man, I wish I could preach a whole series, which I am doing, by the way, at CWC on this topic. Because when I got onto this passage, I just felt the Lord say, it's interesting. You might get a short piece of the message today, but the Lord is telling me this. I'm not done with this passage yet in my spirit. Wow, thank you, Lord. So what the Lord is saying is, so when Paul comes to this prayer, he comes to the Father, from whom every family on earth derived its name. My prayer for you and for me is that we would get to ask God, God, what do you think of me? Father in heaven, what are you saying to me? Who am I in your sight? You know, it's interesting because the one who came into this world to represent God completely, the best that anyone could, his name was Jesus. And there was a day that Jesus stood before John the Baptist and was going into the water to be baptized. And when John baptized Jesus, a couple of events happened. For yes, he was baptized. It said the Holy Spirit came like a dove, descending on Jesus, supernatural event. Second thing that happened is there was a person in heaven who spoke this word. And it says a voice came from heaven, and it says, you are my loved son. You're my son. You're the son of my... And it's out of that place when I know that I am loved of my Father in heaven. Even though the words that were spoken to me, and you know the sad thing is, a lot of us still live out of a reality that's not even, that's sort of a false reality. We're living our life thinking that we're not loved, we're not cared for, we're not protected, so we're using these mechanisms to protect ourselves and to cover ourselves. You know what's interesting? When Adam and Eve sinned, they disobeyed God, all of a sudden they had to cover themselves because they knew they were naked. You know what happened? Shame came into the world. You know, the unfortunate thing is things that have happened to us in our life will cause this to happen. We'll either become fearful, which is often, it comes out in different ways, and most often we'll become shameful. We're ashamed. And my prayer to you, for you this morning, is that somehow God, the Father of love, will rename you. This will be a beginning of a time in your life where, if, and you know what's interesting, is this is not just a one-time event. I believe it is, in a sense, God's already given me a name. My problem is I got too many obstacles in my way, too many blind spots in my life, too many broken areas of my life that I'm not hearing God calling me his name. Do you understand? There are too many things in my life. It's almost like there's too much garbage. It's like this beautiful jewel underneath this whole heap of garbage. Are you with me? And I can't see the treasure because it's covered by junk. I believe Paul's saying that in a sense that God's love is to be so embraced and God's love is to be so encaptured. God's love is to be so known in your heart that it would demolish everything that would come in the way. But my dear friend, I'm only this much into the love of knowing the love of God. You know, if there were containers, there could be a thimble. And then there could be a little cup. Then there could be a tumbler glass. Then there could be a pitcher. Huh. Then might get a 5-gallon bucket. And then we'll go into that, what is it? 40-gallon bucket, drum? I don't know. Then there might be one of them tanker containers. I don't know what the next size would be. One of them oil tank big things, reservoirs. But let me tell you something. The love of God is so broad and so wide and so long and so deep. And Paul's intent is that every single one of us, no matter who we are as human beings, that we would continue to grow in that love. Continue to grasp. There is not one of us that are really swimming in it right now. You know, if we're swimming in it, we'd be like what Paul said at the end, that you may be filled to the knowledge, filled to the measure of the fullness of God. It's interesting the progression that Paul has here, and I want to just give you that in a few minutes, because my dear, time flies when you're having fun. And pretty soon you're going to be looking at that clock or smelling that roast beef dinner, just waiting for you at home. But I really believe God wants you to hear some good news here. So let's go on. He says here, he says that this is Paul's desire as he prays. And he says, his desire is that you would get your name from the Father, Heavenly Father. His prayer is that every family in heaven and earth would derive its name from the Father. And it's interesting, the word family and the word father come from the same root word. It's pater. father and pateria or something like that for the family. It's like that you would be fathered by God. No matter what you've been fathered and mothered as in human terms, in human life, that God wants to re-father you. Isn't that great? That God really wants to show up as who he really is. And it wasn't the image I received. My parents should have given me an image that was good, wholesome, and right, but a lot of us didn't get it altogether complete because we come from broken generations. You got it? Now, Father wants to refather us. And he says, verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, out of the place where he's got all the resources in the world, and he would leave the treasures of heaven. Come on. He would leave the wealth of heaven. He would come down to find you, his treasure, hidden in a field. He would come to say, I'm going to look for that treasure that's buried because that's so precious to me. And that's what the Father does. Out of his glorious riches, he comes and he says, he prays that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you. So my prayer is that God would start to build you up, that God would start to strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit. Where? In your inner being. Because the core of my being is what dictates how I live. It's my heart. It's that inside of me where I'm going to come forth with activity and thoughts. Are you with me? The proverb says, a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So what you think about yourself, you live it up.